movie Mike McGranahan, professional movie critic. His website, aisleseat.com. Do as many smart people do. Follow him on Twitter, at aisleseat. Member of the Critics Choice Association and Online Film Critics Association, or Society. He's an author, a massive tweeter, and has a sponsor, too, the Campus Theater in Lewisburg. Welcome aboard, Mike.
Thank you. Happy Friday.
Let's see. Doolittle, Dr. Doolittle, fabulous story, children's story, as near as I can tell. How's the movie?
Doolittle stars Robert Downey Jr. as the famous doctor who can talk to animals. If he could talk to a skunk, the skunk would say, "Your movie stinks as bad as I do." When the Queen of England becomes deathly ill, Dr. Doolittle goes in search of a mythic island whose plant life might hold the cure. Joining him on the voyage is a menagerie of wild animals, all of whom are voiced by famous people. Emma Thompson is a parrot, John Cena is a polar bear, Octavia Spencer is a duck, and so on. Doolittle has a couple moments of extreme weirdness that made me chuckle. After all, this is a movie where a gorilla screams in terror at the very sight of a teenage boy. Overall, though, it's pretty much a disaster. I don't know what kind of accent Robert Downey Jr. is doing here. He sounds like a Scottish guy imitating Balky from Perfect Strangers, and it's very distracting. The plot, meanwhile, is paper thin. At times, it feels like entire sections of the story were cut out and replaced with voiceover narration to fill in the gaps. The film also has a tendency to step on its own jokes. Rather than setting them up properly, it rushes to get to the punchlines, which of course undermines the humor. Doolittle could have been a fun family movie. Instead, and this is very fitting given the subject matter, it's both a dog and a turkey. On a scale of 1 to 4, I give it 1.5 Rex Harrisons.
Well, I never liked the other Doolittle movie either, so Rex Harrison was the lead in that?
He was the original Dr. Doolittle in the 67 version, and of course Eddie Murphy played the character in the late 90s and early 2000s in two films. So.
Ooh, I don't even remember that. Was that were those sort of popular? And
yeah, the first one was. Second one, not quite as much. The first one was one of Eddie Murphy's bigger hits of that time.
Oh, okay. I must have missed that. I do remember when I was growing up, though, the Doolittle film. I just thought it was strange. It was weird to see Rex Harrison in there, too. I just expected a beautiful woman to come into the movie any moment and fall in love with him. And
right.
That would be the happy ending for that film. Okay, so back to the current Doolittle, miscast, money grab. What happened here?
Well, the movie had a lot of behind-the-scenes problems. There have been articles written about it. The director had never done a big-budget special effects film before and apparently was having some trouble staging the scenes. They had to bring in two other directors to help him. The movie was originally scheduled for last year, and they bumped it to January, which is almost never a good sign. A movie like this really seems like it should come out in the summertime or Christmas. And then you have Robert Downey Jr., who I love as an actor, and part of what's great about him is that he makes kind of quirky, unexpected choices, but the choice I think he makes here in terms of Doolittle's voice is just way off base. He's being weird for the sake of being weird, and so you can never really see the character. You just sort of see Robert Downey Jr. doing this weird, eccentric shtick. So there's just a lot of problems with it. And one of the major scenes in the movie, there's this whole scene where they have to break into a palace and steal this magical, or this book that has this important information. But instead of showing them breaking in, they just have a voiceover narrator sort of telling you that they broke in. And it really feels in moments like that that parts of the movie were cut out and that they were trying to put a Band-Aid over it with the voiceover narration. So the movie just really is kind of a big sloppy mess that goes for an hour and a half and then it's over and you think, well, what was that all about?
All right. Well, my logical follow-up question is, could this have worked if they had pulled some of those disparate elements together? But I'm instead left with the question, why even bother? But we have, we have, of course, is it considered a classic, the original one from the 60s? Well, we certainly
sort of
have Eddie Murphy's then appearances, so
right.
we're okay there. Did we need another Doolittle comes to mind instead?
I think the appeal of this movie was that they could make the animals through CGI look very realistic, sort of like last year's Lion King. So my guess is that they thought, hey, this will be a great way to update the story for modern audiences, and the animals, it'll look more realistic when they talk than it did in the Eddie Murphy version or the Rex Harrison version. So that was probably the driving thought behind this.
And sometimes modernizing an old film works. Are there any examples you can think of where they modernized the characters or something and it really helped to pull it together?
Yeah, it can. I'm trying to think of any recent examples.
I think of Star Wars, where the old we would never accept the old version of special effects, and where the new one just as crazy.
Yeah, I mean, there's a case. It's sort of interesting because the movie takes place a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. And if you look at the prequels, they have better special effects than the movies that took place after them. So it's almost like their society is backwards in terms of technology. But yeah, you know, certainly the advancements in technology allow for things that had never been done before. And so that does give filmmakers a little bit of license to try some new things.
All right. So there are just too much would have to happen to this film to pull it together. One and a half.
Rex Harrison.
Sorry. The actor in the first film, which was what, in the 1960s or so. And that is Doolittle. New films coming out this weekend?
Yeah, this is Super Bowl weekend, so you don't really get any big films. But we do have two to talk about, starting with the rhythm section. Blake Lively plays a woman who seeks revenge against those who orchestrated a plane crash that killed her family. So that sounds kind of intense. And we've got Gretel and Hansel, which is a new take on the classic Hansel and Gretel fairy tale, but really told much more from the point of view of Gretel. So much more of a female-oriented kind of horror movie.
All right. And any of those showing a lot of promise, getting a lot of talk about them?
No, these movies are put out there because they have target audiences that the studios presume are probably not interested in football. But this is a notoriously low-grossing weekend at the box office. The theaters are mostly empty because people are kind of preoccupied with the big game.
Yeah, okay. So Saturday you go buy your snacks and Sunday you eat them at home during the Super Bowl. And that's all you do. Okay, so those are new movies. Wes Anderson is working on a film. Tell us about this.
Yeah, Wes Anderson, the great director behind so many wonderful films, Rushmore, Royal Tenenbaums, Life Aquatic, Grand Budapest Hotel. He has a new film called The French Dispatch, and it was just announced that that'll be hitting theaters this summer, July 24th. It's set in Paris during the 1950s and follows a group of journalists at an American newspaper bureau. The film stars Benicio del Toro, Tilda Swinton, Timothy Chalamet, and Bill Murray, who kind of pops up in all Wes Anderson's films. So really one of my favorite directors, and I know he's got a lot of other fans out there, so we'll be able to see a brand new film from him this July.
And this would be like an action drama kind of thing, or do we know?
His movies are always sort of quirky comedies. That's sort of what he's known for, so I'm sure it would be in the same vein. If you've ever seen like Moonrise Kingdom, that's my personal favorite of his films. So
I don't think I've seen any of those films you mentioned.
But they're great. You'd love them.
Okay, good. Well, I don't go to enough movies in case that's not obvious to you. All right, so the Wes Anderson will have a new one for everybody who's a fan this week. A four-hour Hillary Clinton documentary is out?
It's coming out. It's called Hillary. It's a four-hour documentary series that will debut March 6th on Hulu. And apparently Hillary Clinton gave them more access than she's ever given to anyone, like almost unprecedented access to her in her life. So obviously she's one of the most controversial political figures of our time. Love her or hate her, this should be fascinating to watch. Just to see how close the filmmakers get and what they captured.
44 hours, though?
Well, she's a complicated woman. Like, okay. I said, love her, hate her, she's complicated. I think she can probably sustain 4 hours. Not a lot of politicians could, but I think she's one of the ones who can.
And she participates in Q&A throughout this or in some of it?
Yeah, she's interviewed apparently, and they follow her around. So, like I said, it should be kind of interesting. You know, political documentaries, I always find them fascinating, whether I love the person they're about or not. They're just really kind of interesting to see how political minds of our time work. So I will definitely be watching this one.
Yeah, good point. I never thought I'd care a lot about the Anthony Weiner goings on until I saw the documentaries.
One of my favorite documentaries of the last decade. If you've never seen, our listeners, if they've never seen the documentary Wiener, you will be riveted from start to finish.
Right, yeah, all the political nuance and the behind the scenes and actual romance between he and his wife and then just and how it relates to his public life. And of course we know in real life eventually she does leave and stays gone, but you know, it's interesting just how much an individual woman can
absorb,
sort of accept. Honest to Pete, it was quite a story. Alright, super. Alright, well, you generally go to the movies on Friday. Where are you headed?
Seeing Gretel and Hansel later today, and then over the weekend screening some independent movies that are going to be coming up in the next few weeks. So I got a busy weekend ahead.
Big Super Bowl fan?
No, I don't watch sports. It takes away from movies. So.
Yeah, but what about the commercials wouldn't have any interest then if that's a different medium. So, Okay. All right. Thank you so much, Movie Mike.
Thank you.
Movie Mike, we'll see you at the movies. You can always see him Friday morning at the theater. Doolittle, 1.5 Rex Harrison's. Thank you so much, Movie Mike.